5 and verse 18, please, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Say, wow, Pastor, you worked that out pretty good to get right here in 1 Thessalonians at Thanksgiving. No, the Lord did that. So just so you know, I'm not smart enough to figure all that out and do that. But He did plan it for just this day, didn't He? I think that's pretty neat as we're the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I want to preach a message to you today called Thanksgiving Expressed, or Thankfulness Expressed. As we know, we've worked through these little short things here: rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. The truth is, we're going to show this morning that in order to be right with God, you must be thankful people. If you're not a thankful person, simply put, you're not right with God. Now, thankful people cannot be saved, but saved people should be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. That's interesting. Where's Gino this morning? I know he was here at one point. Where is he? Gino. Oh, there he is. Hey, Gino. Okay. This is not this Gino, okay? But a Gino who's associate professor at Harvard Business School. That's definitely not you. Okay, I was just wondering, okay? Built on the research in a field study that looked at 41 fundraisers at a university, all receiving a fixed salary. The director visited half of the fundraisers in person, telling them, "I am very grateful for your hard work. We sincerely appreciate your contributions to the university." The second group received no such expressions of gratitude. What was the impact of the director's thanks? This researcher said, the expressions of gratitude increased the number of calls by more than 50% for the week, while fundraisers who received no thanks made about the same number of calls as the previous week. Then this person concludes, by missing chances to express gratitude, organizations and leaders lose relatively cost-free opportunities to motivate. Now, this is secular research. Another person said, I spend a lot of time working inside organizations and see teams working together to accomplish a task, usually with a deadline. Oftentimes, you don't see the leaders going back and actually thanking the team members. Those are situations which expressions of gratitude from leaders could have wonderful effects. Another research says this, Thanksgiving can be a year-round blessing. Now, this particular one says, although gratitude is often the forgotten factor in happiness research, psychologists at UC Davis and the University of Miami, by the way, UC Davis would not be considered a bastion of conservatism, just in case you're wondering. Okay, so they don't have an axe to grind that way. And the University of Miami are engaged in a long-term research project to help rediscover its importance. UC Davis psychology professor Robert Emmons and University of Miami professor Michael McCullough have shown that people who count their blessings, not just on the fourth Thursday of November, but in daily gratitude journals, exercise more regularly, complain of fewer illness symptoms, and feel better about their lives overall. Their research is designed to create and disseminate a large body of novel scientific data on the nature of gratitude, its causes, its potential consequences for human health and well-being. Scientists, this is a direct quote, scientists are latecomers to the concept of gratitude. Religions and philosophies have long embraced gratitude as an indispensable manifestation of virtue and an integral component of health, wholeness, and well-being. Again, these are secular people making these statements. Through conducting highly focused, cutting-edge studies on the nature of gratitude, its causes, and its consequences, these two researchers are shedding important scientific light on this important concept. This project is supported by a grant from the John Templeton Foundation. Compared with those who dwell on daily hassles, people who take time instead to record their reasons for giving thanks also feel more loving, forgiving, joyful, enthusiastic, and optimistic about their future. While their family and friends report that they seem happier and are more pleasant to be around. Gratitude is literally one of the few things that can measurably change people's lives. That's a direct quote from their research. They go on to write in a book called Thanks, How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier. The book outlines 10 strategies for cultivating a feeling of thanksgiving throughout the year. Gratitude was unexplored terrain for psychologists when Edmonds began his study in 1998. His first research subjects were students in his health psychology class at UC Davis. Now get this. Then the professor assigned some students to write down 5 things they were thankful for each day, and the other half of the class to record 5 complaints. 3 weeks later, the grateful students reported measurably improvements in psychology, physical, and social well-being compared with those who were complaining. Since then, Edmonds has conducted variations of the experiment in dozens of other studies. He studied populations, including organ transplant recipients, adults with chronic neurological disease, and healthy fifth graders. That would be an interesting study, wouldn't it? He says, we always find the same thing. People who keep gratitude journals improve their quality of life. He goes on to say, his 10 strategies can help anyone cultivate a more grateful approach to life. But he warned that the exercises are not for the intellectually lethargic, as he stressed that gratitude is incompatible with feelings of victimhood or entitlement, or with the inability to recognize one's shortcomings or to admit one is not self-sufficient. So in other words, this is not just, I'm going to make this up so my life will be better. He says, and I quote, far from being a warm and fuzzy sentiment, gratitude is morally and intellectually demanding, he said. It requires contemplation, reflection, and discipline. It can be hard and painful work. By the way, God commanded it. That must mean we struggle to do it. Or he wouldn't have to command us to do it, right? Helen Keller said, so much has been given to me that I have no time to ponder that which I don't have. Joni Erickson Tada, who is a quadriplegic, said, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It is a matter of obedience. H.W. Wessenheimer said, the pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. Nevertheless, they set aside a day of thanksgiving. Pretty interesting, isn't it? It's interesting when secular research tells us what God's Word already told us. Thankfulness is something we're supposed to do. Not just on the 4th Thursday of November. However, doing it on the 4th Thursday of November is a really good idea. I'm glad our country sets aside a day that we say thank you and that we're more conscious of it during this time. But the truth is, it should be a year-round thing because God commanded it, whether the research backed it up or not. But it's interesting how often research eventually comes to where God is, doesn't it? I remember, it's probably been 20 or 30 years ago when researchers, groundbreaking research, that people who actually laugh and are happy have better options in their treatments of diseases and so forth. Like a merry heart doeth good, like a medicine, like something like that. That would probably be what God said a couple thousand years ago, you know? I don't know how many billions of dollars or millions of dollars you spent on that research, but I could have saved you that, you know? Give it to me. I'll tell you what the end results are. It says right here in the run. We wouldn't have to be paying Brother Jeremiah cheap labor to build this platform, right? We could actually, anyway, all right. I want us to look at Scripture this morning and just give you some things. Number one, let's look at the command. It's simply what? In everything, give thanks. Now, we'll walk through this a little bit, okay? But the word everything means individually, each and every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything, collectively. You get the idea, right? God is saying that we are to give thanks. And this thanks is to be grateful. And it goes beyond just expressing it, though that is exactly what it's supposed to be. But it's also to feel thankful. Or to give thanks. It's a present active command. God's saying, right now, I want you to give thanks. You know, but I also want you to feel thankful. Okay, all of us who've had children have probably had to say to a kid at some point or another, say thank you. And they're like, thank you. You know, you're like, say it with a happy heart. Thank you. It's like, you know, I think we still don't have the picture here yet, right? So God's saying, I want you to actually feel it as well as communicate it, right? We're supposed to have an attitude of thanks. Now, this is interesting. The preposition that's used here denotes being or remaining within, with the primary idea of rest or continuance. In everything, give thanks. You're like, wait. Is God saying that God wants me to rest in a thankful attitude in everything? Yes. That's easier said than done, isn't it? It really is. In other words, do we rest in a state of thanksgiving, of thanks? In every matter, in every condition, this is the will of God. You ever pray, if God would just write His will in the clouds, I'd do it. This is the will of God. This is it. This is one of the things you can do, right? You can be thankful. So if I'm not being thankful, what does that tell me? I'm out of the will of God, right? It's pretty simple in the process. Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, I love what one writer said. He said, Paul never instructed the church to thank God for evil events, but to thank God that even in evil times and circumstances, our hope remains. And God continues His work in our lives no matter what else is happening around us. Now, what's the difference between this and rejoicing? Well, I can rejoice internally, and I can thankfulness too, but thankfulness is different in that it has to be expressed. You say, well, I'm thankful on the inside, but I just don't ever tell anybody. Then you're not biblically thankful. Because God intends biblical thanksgiving is to communicate it. When's the last time you said thank you to someone? Thank you for someone cooking your breakfast or cleaning the house or, I mean, you just go on. You're like, well, I felt it. You didn't obey the scripture. God said to actually say it. Thank you. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Why is it hard for us to do that? I mean, when you've been in a situation where it's hard for you to say thank you, why is that? Well, I don't know about you, but I can tell you most of the time for me, it's just a stubborn pride. And that's a problem, isn't it? By the way, perspective changes things. I heard someone use this illustration years ago, and I have never forgotten it. But they said, imagine two groups of people were going to a below-average motel. I don't know about you, but immediately I think of Motel 6. Like, right? Like it's. I'm not even sure they should still have those, right? They could give me a motel room there, and I don't think I would stay there, okay? You're like, have you ever been there? Yes, and I don't want to tell you the story because it was bad, all right? But let's assume that one group of people were coming to this hotel as a part of a fantastic vacation. Okay? As a general rule, what do you think their attitude would be? What? We scheduled what? Who was in charge of this vacation? I thought you said it was a really nice motel, okay? Let's assume the other group of people thought they were going to prison. And they ended up with an individual motel room with cable television. What do you think their attitude would be? Different, right? It would be a different process. Why? Because of the perspective. Now, here's the deal. Many times when we're ungrateful, it's because we think we deserve more. We think that something else should have been given to us than what we really got. The fact is, what we deserve, none of us currently have. We are so blessed. So blessed. Would you say, or would I be able to say, that our life is obedient to this command? Do we give thanks? The command, but number two, the circumstances. Well, when are we to give thanks? Well, obviously, he says in everything, right? But let's give some specific times that Scripture records for us when it's supposed to happen. Well, number one, we're to do it in prayer. Repeatedly, the Word of God uses prayer as an opportunity to give thanks. When our Lord took the 7 loaves and the fishes, what did he do? He gave thanks, right? And broke them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And commanded the people to sit down, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. Same story, right? Luke 22 and verse 17, and he took the cup. Okay, where's this cup taking place and what's about to take place? In the upper room, right before he goes to die on the cross of Calvary. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And he took the bread, again, same context, and gave thanks. John 6 and verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves. When he'd given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. John 11 and verse 44, and then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. What story is this? Lazarus. They've moved the stone away, and what does Jesus do? He's lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Acts 27 and verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Romans 14 and verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. You want to have mac and cheese on Thanksgiving? Thank the Lord for it. I'm going to thank the Lord that we're not. Amen. Okay. You have to be in the earlier service for this, okay? Ephesians 1 and verse 16, what does Paul say? Cease not to give thanks for you. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Do you get the idea that God wants us to give thanks in prayer? Absolutely. How much of our prayer life is thankfulness? But number two, God tells us to thank Him for things He does for us. Luke 17 and verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. Acts 28 and verse 15, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the 3 taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. God, you gave me this blessing. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus heals the 10 lepers, how many of them are thankful? Right, one. I was just giving a second there, Dale, so I didn't have to correct you in public. It's okay. Right. Now, question. Could some of the other 9 been thankful in their heart? They didn't express it, though, did they? And what did Jesus say when the one came to him? Where are the other 9? I mean, you know, like leprosy, healing of leprosy wasn't that big of a deal, right? Are you kidding? Like, leprosy was a death sentence. It was a family separation sentence. It was life stops as we know it sentence. And Jesus says, all 10 of you are healed, and only one comes back to thank him? When's the last time you thanked God for salvation? Literally voiced it to him. God, thank you for saving me. I didn't deserve that. Thank you for being my Savior. By the way, would you take the time to write them down? Did you notice the researcher talked about them actually having a Thanksgiving journal? When is the last time we thanked God for specific blessings? Specific blessings. Now, I'm not talking about this generic thing, but I'm talking about specific things that God has done for us. Number three, Paul wrote it in letters. He wrote it in letters. Paul wrote to people and thanked them over and over again. Romans 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So Paul is thanking God, but he's writing it down, telling them that he's thanking. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf. He writes it down for them to see. Philippians 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Can you imagine getting a letter from the Apostle Paul, and in it he said, every time I think of you, I'm thanking God for you. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty encouraged by that. Colossians 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you. Philemon 1 and verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee in my prayers. Writing it down. He's not only praying, thanking God for them, but he's actually penned it. Do we send thank you notes for the things people do for us or the impacts that they've made in our life? Do you tell them? Do you write it down? You're like, wow, man, I got this guy that I've been meaning to write him for the last 3 years. Part of a thankfulness is putting it, put it down, write it, send it. You have no idea what those words spoken one-on-one or in a letter mean. I could take you into my office right now, and I got a file folder of them. People that have written me letters. When things get a little tough or I get a little discouraged or I start having a pity party, I know I'm not supposed to have one of those. And no, I'm not supposed to have one of those, but I do sometimes. It's good to just pull it out. Say, oh, man, oh, I remember that. I remember that. And then be thankful to others. Romans 16 and verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Paul said, these people were willing to die for me, and I thanked them for it. Pretty amazing. To others. Do we thank people for the regular things they do in our life? Just the regular old things. Well, I mean, you know, you reached in your drawer, man, and got a pair of socks out this morning. Where'd that come from? Somebody had to wash it and put it in there. Well, you thanked anybody for that lately? Like, well, I do my own laundry. Okay. Did you buy it too? I mean, like, and if you did, then where'd you get the money from? I'm just saying, when's the last time you just thanked for normal, regular, everyday things? We ought to have an attitude of gratitude. I want us to see, lastly, number three, a caution. And I give you a caution because Scripture does. Unthankfulness is a sign of a spiritual problem. In other words, an unthankful heart runs deep. And how do we know that? Well, Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. By the way, that Romans 1 passage, many of you are familiar with it, but it's describing a difficult thing. I mean, it describes people that are going into reprobation. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God, and neither were they thankful. Isn't it amazing that someone who's not glorifying God in any way, God would also throw in there, and by the way, they weren't thankful either. Colossians 7, or 2 and verse 7, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, a lack of thanksgiving can mean we're not rooted and built up. In other words, we could draw from this text in Colossians 2 and verse 7 that unthankful people are spiritually immature people. Crickets. That's what God's saying. All of us can get into a grumbling attitude, can't we? We can get to a point where we just gripe. We griped in July about how hot it is. And we griped this week about how cold it is. Right? And I imagine the people of Buffalo are griping how much snow they got. And some of you are griping that you didn't get any. Right? The point is, all of us can find ourselves there if we're not careful. And listen, what a slap in God's face when we're not thankful. And if your heart currently is stating to you, whispering little nothings in your ear, well, I'd be thankful if I had more to be thankful about, I would do some serious heart searching. Because the fact is, the worst of us in this room and the worst of us watching online have so much for which to be grateful. Does our lack of thankfulness reflect other spiritual problems in our heart? I love how one author closes out this section, these three little short things. He says, keep on rejoicing, go on praying, be grateful for everything. That's a pretty good way to do it. All three things are God's will for our life. Matthew Henry, the great Bible scholar, was once attacked by thieves and robbed of his wallet. He wrote these words in his diary. Let me be thankful, first, I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Third, although they took all I had, it was not much. And fourth, let me be thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. What a difference. Just yesterday, I added this to my message. The author is unknown, but I saw it, and boy, it's powerful. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you've made a difference. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they can become your blessings. I have written in the front of my devotion journal this statement: ungratefulness can turn paradise into prison. It's the will of God that we be thankful. I hope you will. Not just this week, though this is a great week to do it, but a lifestyle, because that's what God wants for us. And the truth is, not only does he want it, we'll be obedient to him, but even from secular research, they're telling us your life's going to be better off after all. Be thankful. Father, thank you for these words from Scripture. We need these reminders. I don't know about the rest of our dear people, Lord, but I get so sometimes consumed with that which is not happening and grumble about this and grumble about that. Help us to be thankful. Lord, we needed this reminder from Scripture this morning, and we love you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not going to say how many of you need to be more thankful. That would be easy to do. But let me ask this. Did the Holy Spirit specifically convict you for a lack of thankfulness? If so, would you deal with him this morning? Would you just submit to him? You're out of the will of God. That's plain from the text of Scripture. Will you have a grateful attitude, a thankful heart? By the way, a thankfulness that is expressed to others. They're going to begin to quietly pray. Would you deal with God? Just there in your seat. Or maybe there's some chairs up here in the front you want to come. Just ask God, would you help me to be thankful? In the midst of whatever else is happening, may I be thankful? And may I express that to you, to others, in written form? May I be obedient to this command.
look this way for just a moment. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, I hope you'll come. Getting just a little bit of ringing here, guys. 6 o'clock tomorrow night, pie and praise time. Praise time will be at 7 o'clock. I'm looking forward to a great time to be here together. And the next Sunday, don't forget, Brother Jeremiah Clark will be preaching. Brother Steve's got an announcement, and Brother Steve, won't you close us in prayer?
Just a reminder to the choir, we are just serving a light meal over there for the choir members in the rehearsal. So if you would, please make a beeline over there. Don't make us come hunt for you.